the weight of your love. Mighty Hallelujah. Show me the way, please show me the way of your heart. Mighty Hallelujah. Yahweh, you're my first love and my last. You have forgiven all my past. From my sin, you rescued me. Hallelujah. Show me the way into your Sabbath. Mighty Hallelujah. Show me the way, please show me the way into your rain. Mighty Hallelujah. Your voice always brings me peace. Ruach Kadesh, He comforts me. In You no sickness and disease. Hallelujah.
Prove to you that Yahweh don't love everybody. Yahweh does not love everybody. It's just that simple. Now, let me give you a scripture in Psalms 5 and 5. Listen, notice this. David is penned, and he says in his verse here, Yahweh hates the workers of iniquity. Yahweh declared to Jacob, have I loved, Esau have I hated, in Romans 9:13. Now write that one down and think about that a while. And you say, that's because that Esau, he wasn't saved. But he could have been saved if he'd have done the right thing. He could have been saved. Ladies and gentlemen, a tree that is crooked can't do the right thing. It might fool you 99% of the time, but there's a time when the truth will be exposed in His works and you'll know them by their fruits. Yahweh hated Esau before he was ever born. Can you grasp that? And so then, God did not love the world. And you say, well, why did John 3:16 say that? Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's evident that some of the oldest manuscripts don't contain John 3:16. Somebody could have, you know, added a little bit to the text to get you to be bound with a cord of deception into thinking that God literally loves everyone. Now, it is the person, not the deed, that is clearly in view when you read Romans 9:13. It's the person, not the deed. Because the deed was never committed. It was the person. When Esau came out, he didn't have a Chinaman's chance of being saved. And you say, well, if he would have repented, well, he did repent. And the Bible said he wept bitter tears. But that was to no avail. Yahweh hated him. He hated the person of Esau, not the deeds of Esau. He hated the very person before he'd ever done any good or evil. Are you with me on this? And you say, oh, Pastor Buddy, our church, we love everybody. Well, you better get out of that stinking, rotten, bound cord mess. Flee from the very appearance of evil, even though it seems to be good. And, you know, the Bible said, hey, beware of a man that's well spoken of. If everything down at your church is hunky-dory, you might ought to start looking for another church. Well, you say, you know, according to Christianity and the books of the Christian church, the bookkeepers, they've got literally millions have been saved. Oh, God loves everybody. We've went to Congo. We've went to East Timbuktu. We've went to Africa. We've went to Saipan. We've went to China. We've went everywhere. We've saved everybody that will accept the Christ and confess Him as their Savior. Well, don't you think that Cain confess Yahweh? But the problem is, was it reciprocal? No. Yahweh never did confess Cain. He hated him too. You know why? He didn't hate his deeds. That was just manufacturer of the fruits. He hated the person that was doing the deeds because he was an evil tree from the very time he was in his mother's womb. And so, it is with Esau. Now, I know I'm a strange preacher, and I know I teach against the grain. And I know that I rub some of you raw with my crude speech and my appearance of being evil because I tell you the truth. Have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? And when you want to go to church, well, I don't believe in all this arguing. I get so nervous. You better take you a drink of the Holy Ghost and get off your nerve pills and those things that's upsetting you in the world and cures this world and the worry, you know, the worries of the world. Martha, Martha, Martha. You better get out of there. You better get into the truth. The truth is a warrior spirit. Yahweh said, through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Ladies and gentlemen, it irks me that these false churches bind you with the first strand of the cord and the threefold cord. They bind you with, well, God loves everybody. Sissy poos, weak-kneed, knee-knockers, spineless, feminine spirits. Oh my, I don't want to get too stirred up about this message, but I really feel the anointing of the straight and the narrow gate, and a few there be that find it. I'm not on the Broadway of the first chord that God loves everybody. That's a chord out of chord. You know, when you play a guitar, if you don't chord it perfectly and put your fingers on the correct strings, you know, you're gonna miss a boat. If David played the harp, and if there's 24 strings on it, and he's only supposed to chord three strings at a time, if he put his whole arm against the whole around the 24 chords, he wouldn't get nothing but a dull thug. And when you incorporate everybody into that God loves everybody and God's going to save everybody, you are binding the chords and not identifying the person rather than the deed. For it is not by works that you're saved. And if it's not by works, ladies and gentlemen, it had to be the grace of salvation chosen before the foundation of the world with your names on the Lamb's book. Did you know that it is the person, not the deed? Most preachers present the love of God as nothing more than a helpless, sentimental emotion. Did God love the millions that He washed away with a flood in Noah's day? I don't think so. When they were beaten and grasping for the door, trying to break into the ark, they wasn't but eight souls saved in the days of Noah, and the rest of them perished. And yet we find an amazing scripture in 1 Peter 3:18-20 that he returned later after these disobedient saints in the days of Noah. And we're talking about his people, not the world that perished, but the saints of Yahweh, the ones that's chosen who had gone over to the Baal side of the worship center, got on the Broadway, and got bound with the cords. Well, God wouldn't do nothing so horrible to us. We're just going to be raptured out. Hallelujah, Shunda. Hallelujah. These little phenomenon preachers get up and preach that seem right way and a sound good to the ears of the tinkling cymbals and a sound in brass that reject the truth and the narrow way. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time that we got some men and women with some gumption and some backbone to stand up and tell the truth against the devil, not for him. Man. What about the inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah? Oh, he loved them all. Glory to God. They, you know, he was ready to forgive them. Ladies and gentlemen, they'd done been turned over to a reprobated mind, and all of them were destroyed by fire and brimstone. You think that was love? Don't you think there is a reward for those who he has as a family? You say, well, that's everybody in the world, Pastor Buddy. You see, I just hate to preach against our own people, our own preachers, our own churches. I seem like I'm sour grape in this deal. And yet I'm in the Word in the narrow way and telling you that Yahweh's love is peculiar in its object, as was the redemption that He gave us on the torture stake. Yahweh only loved the elect. He chose them into salvation from before the foundation of the world. Now let me repeat that. He loved them, redeemed them through the torture stake, died and received all power, justified us, not by our deeds, but by His righteousness are we saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of predetermination or predestination that my name was on the Lamb's book from the foundation of the world. Oh my, I feel so happy that I ain't in control of this matter. Neither are you. I am not in control of who's saved and who's not saved. That's none of my business, and it certainly ain't none of yours. It belongs to the Creator. And can the clay say to the potter, "Why have you made me thus?" Could Esau ask Yahweh, "Well, what'd you make me this way for?" Are you sure that it was Yahweh that made him that way? Do you really know who Esau and Esau's father was? Have you ever stopped to think about it? Have you ever stopped to think about whose Cain's father was? We say, well, she has Adam. And Jacob was the father of Esau. Oh, really? Or Isaac? Isaac, ladies and gentlemen, we go to the 27th chapter of the book of Genesis, and we find that when Rebekah was pregnant with the two children in her womb, that she inquired the cause of the struggle and the battle and the kicking and the moaning and the groaning and the complaining of Esau. You know what he was trying to do? Trying to get a leg up on the deal. Trying to steal the birthright. You see, it was Yahweh's child, Jacob. The son of Yahweh, not the son of the devil. You see, the devil had some works in that womb, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm trying to explain this hard doctrine, this hard saying, to men with and women with backbone and purpose and predestination to believe the truth when you hear it. And Yahweh said, "My sheep will hear the truth, and they will follow me." They won't follow the blind crowd of the first strand of the cord that God loves you. Oh my, no. You know why? Because they'll question. A man that will not question everything that the mother church is putting down your beak like a bunch of hungry birds setting up waiting for the worm or whatever else that the mother bird or the father bird would drop in their mouth or anybody else come along. They'll swallow anything but the truth. And it takes the truth to free you from the strands of the cords that God loves everyone. You better believe He don't love everyone. You better believe that He's selective. And you better believe it's not by works. It was selected before the foundation of the world, as He told Jeremiah, "I knew you before you was in your mother's womb." Had Jeremiah been a bad seed, not willing to suffer? You know, the righteous suffer because Satan makes it a hard way. But Satan gives the Broadway people, the wide gate people. Oh, you can see them. The preachers are, they weigh about 300 pounds apiece. Well fed, well dressed, well healed. Bank accounts bulging. Just by telling lies. The prophets of Yahweh are poor, and they're naked, and they're destitute, and some of them are even hunger and suffer because of the gospel of standing for the truth, that the first strand of deception has to be broken and unraveled from your life, and it takes a hard saying to get you on the narrow way. I hate you, Esau. I hate you. Well, was it something I did? No. No, it wasn't nothing you done, Esau. I hated you before you were ever born and before you ever done anything good or evil. Oh man, what chance did Esau have? What chance did the clay have to respond to the potter who is selective? Not because of something you do or don't do, but he's only selected because of what he's done, and he knows his sheep. I tell you what, I can see everyone that gets baptized in Yahweh's name, there's a purpose for them. There's a calling. And they might not even understand when they have to get out of that false name and come humble. Broken down like a shotgun, folded up, and just a little ball of dirt, and has to be washed and sanctified and glorified in that name because you were born to serve Him. Some of you have resisted. Some of you have strived. Some of you have murmured and complained through the first strand of the cord.
Oh, God, don't you love me? Look what I've done for you, God. I've done many wonderful works for you.
Depart from me, you sorry piece of flesh, which shall never inherit the kingdom of heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, you just don't hear a Sunday school message like Pastor Buddy can preach. That I've been called and sanctified to preach this hard saying, and who can hear it in the narrow gate and the narrow way for a people who's chosen before the foundation of the world according to the 2 Thessalonians 2:13. He loves you with an everlasting love, and He will never suffer one of His sheep to perish. You know why? Because your name's on the Lamb's book, and when He checks the book, you ain't home. He's long-suffering, not willing that His sheep, not the world, His sheep is not the world, and I said His sheep is not the world, never was the world, and never will be the world, because he that loves the world, the love of the Father is not in you. And you think that God loves the world? That's the first strand of the cord that binds you into deception, and it ain't true. When David said, Yahweh hates the workers of iniquity in Psalms 5:5. Boy, I feel the Holy Ghost. You say, well, Pastor Buddy, if he wasn't so hard, why don't you just, tickle my ear and give me a rapture verse? That I'm going to go sailing up in the air, and God loves everybody regardless of creed, race, or color, or whatever. That's the tickle your ear stuff. It is a love with power for the salvation of the elect. Let me repeat that. It is the love with His acts, not yours, for the salvation of the elect chosen before the foundation of the world. Now, let's talk about the second strand here. What about the second strand? It's a cord of the error that the Messiah, Yahweh Shua, in a flesh body, died for everyone. You really believe that He died for everyone? He certainly didn't die for Esau. He certainly didn't die for the Sodom and Gomorrah gang. He certainly didn't die for Satan or any of his angels. He didn't die for those that came down and mated with the daughters of men and tried to corrupt the birthright bloodline. So the second strand is the error that the Messiah died for everyone. Did He specifically say? I lay down my life for the sheep. John 10:15. Now let me say that. Did the Messiah specifically say, I lay down my life for the sheep? Well, I believe he did. John 10:15 again. Now, to insist that the Messiah died for everyone when obviously everyone is not saved is to say that his death was an attempt to save which, so far as the lost are concerned, was in vain. You would know exactly that Yahweh never, never said that he loved everybody and that he was going to save everybody. If he'd have said that, he would have. Here he's making a distinct separation between goats and sheep and the wicked ones. Obviously, not everyone is saved, and to say that his death was an attempt to save which, so far as the lost are concerned, was in vain, and it become a failure. That ain't going to do, ladies and gentlemen. The Messiah died a successful death for his sheep, and for all whom he died shall receive the salvation that he purchased for them on Calvary. My heavens! Well, no wonder the devil roars and the thunder rocks and rolls and the lightning flashes. The devil knows this message was in the pipeline. He don't want the truth told on him and the Broadway gang. The show-offs, the seem right, the smooth speech, the enticing words of men's wisdom, these preachers that are weak-kneed, mealy-mouthed, hump-backed, hen-pecked. I could say a few more things about those type of personalities, but I mean, just look at them. They come out and, you know, and they're dressed in their fancy Dan suits and their $1,000 patent leather shoes. $3,000 suits, got a Learjet sitting over at the airport that they rode in, helicopter over to the big mega church. Oh, got another meeting up in Etowah, Canada. I've got to get up there. They've got 100,000 people waiting on me. And I can't fail them. I need to give them some popcorn religion. Ladies and gentlemen, no wonder this world is bound with the second strand of the cord of the earth that the Messiah died for everyone. He died a successful death, and those he purchased salvation for at the tree, not one of them is going to be lost. Even in the depths of his suffering, we are told that the Messiah would see out of the travail of his soul and be satisfied. As Isaiah 53:7 says, he actually redeemed and reconciled and saved every one for whom he tasted death. There are no wasted efforts on the Messiah's part. You can believe that, ladies and gentlemen. So the second strand of this cord of error, of the threefold cord, which is not easily broken. And Samson found that out when he got his hair cut. He couldn't have broke a rubber band, as I said, let alone a four-stranded cord wrapped around his wrist. Now, what about the third strand, Pastor Buddy? Well, the third strand of this widespread error is that God is presently trying to save everyone. And so the effort of the missionaries who compass land and sea, and when they convert one of these converts, they make them 2-4 more the child of hell than they were to begin with, according to the Bible. He said, oh yeah, They'll run to and fro, compass land and sea. Make one convert, make him two, four more the child of hell than he was to start with. Ladies and gentlemen, this is awesome. This is awesome. The threefold cord. It's widespread error of the Broadway teaching that God loves the world and God is going to die for everyone and everyone's got an equal and fair chance. Even Cain and Satan and the angels and all the wicked. I don't think so. Revise the doctrine in your mind, ladies and gentlemen. Escape and come out of her that teaches these false things with the cords that bind you into tradition and deceit and superstition and fearful, ignorant worship. Where in Yahweh's word do we read of God trying to do something that he couldn't do? The Bible says, whatsoever Yahweh pleased, that did he in heaven and in earth, in the seas and in all the deep places, according to Psalms 135:6, he accomplished his mission and chose his sheep before the foundation of the world. He didn't come to save the world. He came to save the sheep that was in the world, scattered in the world. Go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Oh, but Pastor Buddy, God so loved the world that, and it's all right for us to go over here and save the Gentiles. Well, let me remind you of a scripture again. Matthew 10, verses 5 and 6. Go not to the Gentiles. Now, what did he say? Go not to the Gentiles, but go. only. The word only means alone or by itself. Selective. Predestination. And chosen before the foundation of the world with their names on the Lamb's book. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're in this world without your name on the Lamb's book before you ever came in, you can rest assured you ain't going back. I don't care how many times the devil saves you and promises you liberty, making you a servant of the corruption that he's in himself and making you twofold more the child of hell than you were to begin with. I'm telling you why that the devil don't want this message preached tonight. You're hearing it. If you've got any backbone, if you've got a spiritual mind, you know why that the devil is against this message. Psalms 135, verse 6. He accomplished his purpose in the earth, the heavens, and all the deep places. And you think that he wasn't able to save you before you came here? He actually redeemed and reconciled and saved every one of his children before he died. And they were engraved upon the palms of his hands and his feet. He literally walked and ate and breathed and thought every time he breathed, he thought about the ones that was on his redeeming list. You say, well, Pastor Buddy, you know, you can be added to the books. Oh, really? The Bible said don't add anything to what's ever, you know, that's ever been written. Ladies and gentlemen, I assure you, 100%, that the three cords that binds and fear and ignorance and superstition, it will take a strong word or a strong arm to break that threefold cord. And Yahweh's arm is mighty. Behold, Yahweh will come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him, and he shall feed his flock like a shepherd, and he shall gather the lambs in his arm. You think that he's going to carry the world? That he loves the world? I don't think so. He come for his sheep, ladies and gentlemen. He said, I'm not of this world. Why would he love something he's not of? I hope you get this message tonight. Between the thunder and the lightning being knocked off, I hope your shortwave is ringing true. I hope your computer downloads that you've reloaded me in on your downloads, and you've got hooked up again for this message, because I know that the devil is interfering, and I don't know where Brother Bob has been able to get us down in Arkansas to get this message on the air. But maybe he can piece together a few things here and there. I know that I'm having difficulty here. Maybe you're having difficulty there, but you know why. This message, it was not supposed to have been preached tonight, and the devil is mad. But Yahweh said, preach it and shout it on the housetop. Preach it on the radio. Talk it on the phone. Get all of my sheep. I'll gather them. I will gather them. I will rescue them wherever they are in the earth, in the seas, and the deep places of Psalms 135:6. I will achieve my purpose. I will save and secure in the covenant that I have made with Abraham and his seed only. Amos 3:2 said, of you of all the people of the earth I have chosen to be my family. Yeah, it takes a strong cord to bind you up in tradition, threefold as it is. But it takes even a stronger arm and a hard sand to break it and to release you and to rescue your life. Yahweh's mighty arm is to save. Behold, Yahweh will come with a strong hand. He came, ladies and gentlemen. He saw and he conquered death, hell, and the grave to die for a people that he had on his list before the foundation of the world. And he come to redeem them, and not one of them will perish. Hallelujah. Glory to Yahweh. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. Oh, yeah. He shall gather the lambs into his arms. Oh, Ananias. Ananias, tell me what kind of man Yahweh is. Oh, man, he's the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Coming to redeem his sheep. Hold me in the palm of your hand. Yeah, it takes a strong arm to break the cords, but Yahweh is able, because, ladies and gentlemen, his word will accomplish wherever he sends it, and it won't return to him void. Ah. And I feel the Holy Ghost tonight. No wonder the devil's kicking in the heavens. I bind the powers of Satan and all the darkness that's covered the United States in particular, and wherever else my voice is going across the oceans and the seas. May the strong arm of Yahweh reach down into the tenderness of your heart. And may he break the bonds of your tradition and the cords of deception that these false, smooth speech in enticers of men's wisdom, where they bound you and set you into pews with ignorance and fear and superstition. Yeah, I'm absolutely correct that the three chords referred to are so common in the earth today. They are held with the same reverence as the Holy Scriptures, the traditions. And yet, they are not Scripture. They are inventions of men woven into the fabric of everyday church life with the carnal mind seem right. Ladies and gentlemen, it's humanism. But it's not biblical truth. If you got a worldly sorrow, the love of Yahweh's not in you. If you want to be saved, Esau wanted to be saved. Did that make him saved? No. But the church world, the humanist view, if you want to, Jesus can save you right now. Shun thy glory to God. Come right on up here, honey. We're going to say a sinner's prayer over you. You can pray and go back to your seat. And then when you depart, go to your church of your choice. Whatever you are, be a good one. Devil's got some good ones, ladies and gentlemen. Good enough to deceive the very elect, but that ain't possible. The three cords are abundantly visible in these false churches, and it's expected of the churches that reject the Scripture as it is written. And where the followers of these churches that are bound with the three cords think more of an experience than they do of God's holy word. So sad that the same errors are to be found in the mainstream churches that have not been touched by these occultisms of deception, though they are very few in the world that's been able to escape, and that's exactly what Yahweh said, come out of her, my people, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Come out of her. Come out of this three-cord bound of the triune Trinity that's binding you with a silliness. It was Yahweh that died for you. It was Yahweh's strong arm that redeemed you. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him. And the world knew Him not. Humanism blended with a little truth. And no one thinks to question the statements that they make. Are their traditions. No one questions because so few bother to think spiritually. Or they have been so badly taught that their reasoning faculties have been dwarfed and altered and dumbed down. And the worst result is that the people who think that they have been saved will end up in cast out to outer darkness. And those who are saved, and with their names on the Lamb's book, have been caught up with these cords of deception, and they love the smooth speech and enticing words. And when Pastor Buddy with his hard saying comes along, they'll say, oh, Pastor Buddy, I really like to hear you preach every once in a while, but man, you just get so hard, and you don't believe everybody can be saved, and I believe God loves everybody, and everybody's got equal and fair chance. Oh, really? You weak-kneed, not-kneed, spineless, piece of corrupt carnality? Wouldn't you want to read your Bible and dismiss your tradition, your Easter bunny services, your Christmas, your paganism? You've been corrupted. See, it's corrupted your good manners. You don't even know what to think or what to say. You're in a Broadway. Now, to claim that God loves everybody and to quote John 3:16 is the ample of the example of theological ineptitude, and of the unthinking disposition, and without a doubt, the buildup of the true theological thinking process is slowed down, and it's become methodical, that you've been dumbed down as sheep. You better demand a close and constant study of all the Scripture, and become aware of what text that actually says to us in the structure of the words, the meanings, and the context, and be very careful and cross-checking in what you've learned. And search the Scripture daily as the Bereans. Oh, my. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I've got to get off here. I don't even want to quit preaching tonight. I'm all stirred up and fired up, praise Yahweh. Let the thunder roll and the lightning flash. Let the devil get mad and let the whole world come against you. But the Bible says emphatically, if I am for you, if Yahweh's for you, if you are His sheep, if you are chosen from the foundation world, if you're predestinated, what can the world do against you if Yahweh's for you? And better yet, what can the world do if Yahweh's against them? I got to get off here. I'm brought to you tonight by Brother Mark and Audrey down in the great state of Mississippi. They're praying for this entire message. Brought to you a courtesy of their love for the gospel. They're meat eaters. They love the King. They don't love the world. They don't conform to the world. And Yahweh wants you to know that He's coming soon. Paul went to the Gentiles? What? Ladies and gentlemen, he didn't go to the Gentiles. No more than Peter, James, and John went to the Gentiles. You know why? Because the Bible says that he was told to go among the Gentiles to the lost sheep of the house of Israel that was scattered abroad, James 1 and 1. Brother Dr. Gary, I'm sure he'd love this message. If he's listening in tonight, he might have gotten knocked off the internet. As Dave said, it's very stormy. 1-877-289-7439. And Brother Paul is 1-800-253-2748. And Brother Mark and Artie, they don't want any acknowledgments. They're my supporters for these 2 hours that I teach on Tuesday night and Saturday night, brought to you exclusively by them. The rest of the time by Dr. Gary and Brother Paul and all those that love Pastor Buddy. You can email me. That's buddy1 at centurytale.net. That's all you need. Buddy1 at centurytale.net. You can call me at area code 423-626-2172. Now, let me give it to you again. If you've liked this message tonight and you've been able to hear parts of it, and you're man enough or woman enough to step up to the plate and say, Pastor Buddy, I want more truth. I want some meat. I'm tired of this milk. I'm tired of being unskillful in the Word. I want it to be rightly interpreted. It's part two of this message that I'll be bringing Wednesday night. You don't want to miss it. I'm going to get into the covenants that Yahweh gave Abraham and to his sheep and then scattered them throughout the earth among the heathen that they wanted to become. They lost their identity, and Yahweh sent the Hebrew boys, the Galilean boys, the Benjamite Paul. He sent them packing into the among the Gentiles. The word Gentile is a heathen. He didn't come to save the heathen. He come to save the sheep. Matthew 15:24. Matthew 10:5-6. You better take a good look at the Scriptures, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to go to heaven. You ain't going to go pussyfooting around, weak-kneed, knock-kneed, and pigeon-toed. You're going to have to be a man with a backbone or a lady with a backbone and get some grit in your craw to digest the Word. Pastor Buddy, 423-626-2172. Or you can write me for this series if you'd like to have it, if you can stand it. I know you ain't going to take it to the church where you go and play Pastor Buddy on the intercom. I don't think so. This won't be broadcast in any denominational church. They hate this message. Satan hates this message. And Satan hates you if you're in a name. You shall be hated of all nations. Matthew 10:22. You shall be hated of all of these heathen Gentiles. And Satan himself for preaching my name. That's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. Now, again, Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to know our website, that's oneyahweh.com. That's oneyahweh.com. Go to our website, check us out, and we'll be back Wednesday night live at 10 o'clock with one pair of hands that chose you before the foundation of the world and put your name on the Lamb's book. And he's coming back after you and not for the world. He's against the world, but he's all for you. If you love him, stand up and take a bow and tell the world to go to hell with all nations that forget him. Yahweh bless you. I'll see you Wednesday night around the world on the transmitting Jewel of the South, WWRB 3.185. Many blessings to you, and I love you.
Every bird, every flower, every tree. One pair of hands on the valleys, the ocean, the rivers, and the sand. Those hands are so strong, so when life goes wrong, put your faith into one pair of hands. One pair of hands heal the sick. One pair of hands raise the dead. One pair of hands calm the raging storm. And thousands of people were fed. One pair of hands said, I love you. And those hands were nailed to a tree. Those hands.